You are listening to the Her Money Matters podcast, episode 54.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jen Hemphill, your host. I appreciate you tuning in to yet another episode of the Her Money Matters podcast. I want to quickly remind you before we get into this episode that there is a vibrant community of amazing women waiting to connect with you. You can join over at jenhemphill.com/community. It is a private Facebook group. We have a lot of fun in there. And we're going to be celebrating the 1 year birthday of this podcast next week. Plus, for those of you in the Northern Virginia, DC, Maryland area, we are actually having our first meetup, and you can find those details in the group. So it's definitely a good thing to go over there and join the group. Now, as for today, I have a very special episode. Especially for me, as I am introducing to you a very special man in my life, my husband. As a matter of fact, not only did I do this episode because of this month's theme of money and relationships, but my husband and I are also going to be celebrating 16 years of marriage the day after this episode airs. So if you were tuning in the day it airs on the 16th of June, the next day is our anniversary. So exciting. It's exciting to be celebrating 16 years. And it's crazy to think that that much time has passed by. In today's episode, you'll learn what my husband's work to spend philosophy was early on and how this changed. You're also going to learn a challenge we encountered early on in our marriage and what he learned from it. And you're also going to learn who influenced him the most in the area of money and why. So let me share with you a little bit about my husband, Johari Hemphill. He is a logistics officer in the U.S. Air Force who has been serving for 16 years. He's super competitive. If you just watch him play soccer, any sport for that matter, or if you're in a Fitbit competition, he is definitely a madman. He is a history buff. He knows all about history, current events. He loves all that stuff. He's a great mentor about life. He will definitely school you in a hot second. Well, okay, he's a talker, so maybe it'll be a little longer than that. And he's definitely a good compliment for me and an awesome father for our boys. Now, without further ado, let me introduce you to finally the mystery man that I've been mentioning over the past several weeks, my husband, Johari Hemphill. Here we go. Welcome to my husband, Johari Hemphill, to the Her Money Matters podcast. I'm excited and actually a little bit nervous about this interview. I'm happy to have you here, though.
All right. Glad to be here.
So are you ready to dive into these questions?
I guess I'll have to be ready. You got me here sitting ready to talk to all your podcast friends.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me a little bit about how you grew up around money. So share with us a little bit about your money story.
Well, my money story is one where my parents taught us about money, even created savings accounts for us. However, it wasn't anything that we discussed on a day-to-day basis or something that we sat down as family and said, hey, let me tell you about money. All I knew is that my parents worked. They made enough money to take care of my brother and I, and we didn't seem to want for anything. However, I learned later in life that was not always the case.
Okay, so let's fast forward when you met me. Tell me a little bit about how your outlook of money was then. So you grew up around money a certain way, but you went to college. Of course, you became very independent. You've been working jobs since you were, I think, 16 years old or 15. So tell us a little bit about that.
Of course, as a kid, you know, you get different jobs, whether you're cutting grass or you're raking leaves or you're finding some way to make money for yourself so that you didn't have to ask your parents. Well, in my case, I did those things, but I was very good at spending my parents' money and saving my own. So when I wanted to buy certain things, I did have that opportunity. However, as you talked about me going to college, I was on a partial soccer scholarship, but a lot of the money came through loans. And I found out later on in life, as you know, when we got married, how much those student loans bothered me later on.
And when we got married, well, when we met, we definitely had a little bit of different outlook on how we viewed money. And how do you think, if anything, that affected our marriage, whether positive or maybe given us, if it gave us some tension?
Well, money was probably a contentious issue, especially coming into a relationship and even a marriage with student loans on one half and the other half doesn't. So you kind of feel like you're putting a burden, or at least I felt like I was putting a burden on our family, me and you, in the beginning by having student loans that would take us years to pay off. Of course, now a lot sooner than we thought, based on your experience with money and your frugalness versus mine. I'm one to probably spend a little more than I should at times, thinking, hey, the money's there. And that's probably the way I grew up was, hey, I didn't have things, but I wanted them. So now that I'm making decent money in the Air Force, then I should be able to buy when I want, what I want.
And I always, when I talk and somehow in podcast interviews, you always come up and I always mention how you've balanced me, where I've always been the saver and kind of a hoarder of money to an extent where I didn't want to spend that money. And you balanced me in that way. So what do you think through, we've almost been married 16 years, actually this week when the episode is released. So how do you think from the beginning of our marriage to now, what have been our challenges in regards to money?
I would say probably one big challenge for us with money is, being that we're in the Air Force and we have a steady income, a lot more steady than, as I mentioned, my parents. I just found out this week talking to my mom that she made only $7,600 a year as a secretary. But you would never know it by the things that she provided for my brother and I. So as I fast forward to now and able to give back, one of those challenges is, hey, if somebody called, I would say, hey, let's support them. And not really looking at what our financial situation was to any great extent. So knowing where we are now and being able to go, hey, maybe we shouldn't help this time. But that was probably a challenge in the beginning, because it'd be help, help, help. But then we'd be in probably a worse situation than the people we're trying to help.
Yes, I remember those days. But it's something that I think also challenged me to be more of a giver, honestly, because I always was saving and became, quote unquote, this money hoarder because I was always afraid to not have. I think you challenged me to be more of a giver. And now with, you know, fast forward 16 years later, we are in a position and we've talked about and we have, we set money aside. So in those cases where a family member needs help, we're able to do that without throwing things off with our budget. So now, what do you feel is the best money that we've spent?
The best money we spent has probably been on our children's education. That was one thing, being in the military and able to, you know, transfer my 9/11 GI Bill over to them. But before that even became an opportunity, or you did some research and figured out that 529 college fund worked. And that was after we had already been saving money when the oldest wasn't even born yet. So the investment for the future is always, to me, the best money spent. Because if we can allow them to be better than we are at the same earlier in their life, then that's worth the true investment.
And how about the worst purchase? What do you think has been the worst purchase we've made?
Probably the worst purchase, and it's probably my fault, was that we bought a house at one of our assignments after renting. And I decided that, hey, I didn't like what the landlord was trying to force us to do or not allow us to do. So, hey, we need to buy a house. You're a real estate agent. Find us a house. And you did. And little did we know, we would move probably a year later, fortunately, to a place that allows us to save some money. But it ended up for us paying a mortgage, two mortgages for about a year, which strained our financial situation on top of student loans.
the good thing is that we got through that for sure. But yes, I remember that time. In actuality, we've bought two homes, and when we were younger, it was early on in our marriage, and it was that mentality that we always heard, well, you don't want to be renting, you want to be investing in a house. So we did that. But whether it was a good decision or not, who knows? But we made the best of it. We made the decision, and we just moved forth. But yes, that was another time where we were paying rent and mortgage at the same time because we weren't able to sell for a while. So that's definitely made for an interesting time in our lives. How about the best money advice that you've received? Tell us about that.
Best money advice I received, and that's probably from various people, to include yourself, is, hey, we got to invest in ourselves first. You pay yourself first, because if you don't have anything for the long term, it's not going to matter in the short term, because you don't never know what emergency situations are going to arise, whether it's our immediate family or whether it's our parents or whether grandparents or even a kid, or you know, these cars we have to drive around and do end up stretching the budget sometimes because it never happens when you want it to happen.
And what do you feel you do well with money? I know we've talked about me being the saver, you being typically the spender, but we always do something well with money. What do you think that is for you?
I think the best thing I do with money is to ask you, do we have any?
You crack me up. Well, I think one thing you do well is, actually you do better with me, is when you go shopping, you go to the clearance rack. And I sometimes forget about that part. So that is one thing. You do tend to look for the deals. So I gave you one there. But yeah, you're funny. How about who has influenced you the most in the area of money?
Influenced me the most with money? Probably I would say my mother, based on what I just found out about what we really lived on. How, you know, you get caught in credit card debt trying to take care of your family. And I know many of you that will listen to this podcast can understand that. But you do what you have to do to take care of your family and make a better way for them. But my mother was the one who took me and my brother and I to the bank to open up a savings account, to understand how to write in a ledger, to, hey, make sure you're saving, you know, make your money work for you. And so throughout college, you know, when there's those times where you're doing work study or working another job on the side after soccer practice, you know, you at least knew that you had money to take care of yourself. So my mother influenced me a lot, and I thank her for showing me how to get it done in life, and it helps me throughout the day in my Air Force career.
Well, I have to vouch for your mom, just because I lucked out. Not everybody has those great stories of the mother-in-laws, but I definitely lucked out with a really good mother-in-law. So I cannot complain about that.
The other thing that influenced me was the prosperity game that you had me do while I was away last year, but we did together. It was one of those things where we could say, if we had X amount of money, you know, for a day, each day, what will we do with it? And it really made you think, what are the things that matter to you most? Which, of course, you get paid yourself. Of course, that's what we always do first, as I mentioned before. But then I start looking at, okay, maybe those folks we couldn't help before, our parents or brothers, or could help them, and then charity, and then maybe, you know, doing something else that helps other people get further along in their life and decrease the burden of money in their life. So I think the prosperity game that you had us do was a great tool to really sit back and look at. And some things we've actually been able to implement by paying ourselves and even giving to charity at times where we probably didn't even think about we could.
Yes. Well, basically the prosperity game, it's with if you Google Abraham Hicks, and I think what really opened my eyes, I think what for me, besides being able to just think about the different things that we can spend the money on, I think it eased, even though I don't think we ever had issues in talking about money necessarily. Sometimes, yes, it could be tense, but I think it eased a money conversation between us. Not only that, I think I definitely learned things about you through that, as well. So I will definitely put a link in the show notes more about that prosperity game if you all are interested. Definitely a great tool to learn about your partner, about yourself, to ease the money with conversations, because in a marriage, sometimes that can be hard to do, to talk about money. So as you know that this podcast is about making money simple, taking control of it, how would you finish this sentence? Her money matters because I know his money matters also, but when we're talking about women, why would you say her money matters because? How would you answer that?
Her money matters because whether you're in a relationship or not, your money and what makes you happy is important. So if you understand where you're sitting at, where your finances are at, where you are in life, and you know what at the end of the day makes you happy, it's probably going to have some money's going to have some influence. So make sure that when you're making your decisions, not all decisions have to be made on money, but make sure that you understand your situation, where you're trying to go, and help yourself before you try to help someone else.
I like that answer. Well, that is it. I appreciate you being here with me, even though I'm with you most of the time. But this has been great. A little nerve-wracking for me, honestly. But I think it's great for others to hear from you and get a little bit of inside scoop more behind the scenes of my life as well. So I appreciate you being here and answering the questions, even though maybe some of them were uncomfortable for you.
Thank you for having me.
So what did you think? Big-hearted and funny, right? And actually, we didn't get him in the mode of being super funny, because he gets in these modes of just being crazy funny. And then he also, just a little sneak scoop, he also gets in these modes of like being super serious too. So it's like super funny, super serious. You never know what you get with him. He's just unpredictable. So I hope that you have enjoyed the interview with him. But I wanted to make sure that I go into further a little bit about the prosperity game that he mentioned, because I know it definitely made a huge difference for us. But before I do that, I do want to give a quick shout out to Gina in Virginia. She's part of our Her Money Matters community over on Facebook. She not only shares her life experiences, but she has provided some super helpful tips. So I wanted to thank you, Gina, for being a part of the group and for your contributions, as we definitely appreciate them. So let's talk a little bit more about this prosperity game. So if you Google Abraham Hicks and prosperity game, you will find it. But basically, I can't say I followed it to the T, but basically the premise of the game is you take 30 days, you schedule out 30 days to do this, and you quote unquote spend money. So it's not real money that you're spending, but you start out on day one with a certain amount that you decide you're going to spend. Okay, so you start day one with a certain amount, whatever amount you deem, whether $100, $50, $1, it doesn't matter. And each day, what we did was we decided like 50-50, like you spend 50, you know, 50%, I'll spend the other 50, and we decided what we were going to use that money on. So we did this when he was deployed. He said about a year ago, and actually this was about, oh my gosh, almost about 5 years ago now. But anyway, so we would email this back and forth. So every day we were diligent about what we spent. And the thing is, the kicker is that as the days go on, so the first day you start out with, let's say $100. The second day you add on what you're going to that amount. So it could be $101. You can kick it up to $200. But the ideas for every day you're going to be spending more money. Again, this is imaginary money. And you're going to decide on what you spend on, whether it can be debt, whether it can be on a home, whether it can be whatever. The sky's the limit as to what you want to spend on. So that is basically how it works. You do that for 30 days. And really, you think when you have an unlimited amount of money to spend, that it would be easy to do. Well, it gets you to think, really, it really gets you to think. So I'll let you work that out. But so we used it for the 30 days, and I guarantee you that if you have trouble speaking with your spouse about money, this is an easier conversation because it's a game. It's not the real life. But so it's an easy way to ease that money conversation. And not only that, you're going to learn about your partner. You're going to learn about the spouse, your spouse. You're also going to learn potentially like how they grew up with money, because you're going to that whatever they spend, that it's going to give you some clues here and there. So that is it, how it works. I wanted to just make sure that you, I spoke a little further on that. And by all means, it doesn't, you don't have to be married to do this. You can do this if you're single. I mean, I encourage everyone to do this just because it's really, really helpful. It gets and give you more of an insight on you as well, and gets you more thinking and get how to spend money. Not only that, but it gets you dreaming again, because that sometimes we forget to do that just because we get so bogged down on life itself that we forget about the fun things that we could be dreaming on. And that those, when we start dreaming again, that's what's going to propel you. That's what's going to motivate you to move forward. So I wanted to make sure that I share that with you. And that is a wrap for today. I want to thank my husband, Johari, for joining us and really being a trooper, because basically I told him he was going to do this. I didn't ask him. I just said, you're going to be on the show. So I appreciate him just being a trooper and just going along with me. And you can check out the show notes over at jenhemphill.com/54. Don't miss next week's episode, as we will be celebrating the 1 year birthday of the Her Money Matters podcast. So there's a very special episode for that. And I also would love for you to join us in celebrating over in our community. So that's over at jenhemphill.com/community. So thanks again so much for tuning in today, and we'll catch you next time.